Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Can we start the podcast with what we were talking about, or is that not okay?
Can I drop in somewhere in the middle?
Can we get the language right? Right. Or is this a patron only thing and we cut it out and we do a jump cut and then people go, I wish I knew what that was. And
okay,
give us £4.
That's a good idea. Let's just ask. Give us £4. Let's just ask the lovely Sluggies then. Should someone be cancelled because?
Back in the day, it was Dom. My mate Dom would always joke. He'd go, if you ever like went into his room, he'd go to his computer and he'd go, tools, internet options, delete history. Everyone knew the roadmap to safety. Tools, internet options, clear history.
Can I ask a question? Was it you who told me the story about mates who had? Everyone had like a folder, deep hidden folder in the computer back in the day.
My mate Billy had finances, tick, tick, click, click, in, P file, click, click, on, click, click, treasure chest, absolute treasure chest. Look, Rob Turner with a quick fire, command Y, clear history. Nice.
Catherine's just typed something here that's taken me back that I haven't thought about for years. Hidden folders. There was an option. You could hide folders, didn't you?
Hidden folders? Oh, yeah, Catherine.
Well, now she said that, I'm obviously thinking what might be in Catherine's hidden folder. That wasn't a euphemism. Fucking hell. What she might be into, and what I found out the other day, which is mental, James, to me is mental, is women watch K a lot.
What?
Like we watch those, they watch gay.
Really?
Yeah.
True? Is that true?
I don't know. Look, Catherine might not, but lots and lots of women watch.
Double the penises.
Testosterone and masculinity, I think.
Just cross your eyes. see two if you want to. That's what I do.
So that blew my mind, and it makes complete sense because, yeah,
I mean,
it makes sense if lesbian porn is a thing that straight women will watch gay porn.
I'm just trying to think when we come back to this podcast.
Or
do I just chuck it all in?
A mailbag.
I don't know. Yeah,
interesting. Because we didn't do a little mailbag. That's a little 5-minute
hidden
mailbag.
I'd love it. Is that a bit though? Hidden folders.
Hidden folders?
I don't know what it is, but like, yeah. I don't know what it is. But there's hidden folders. Sounds like something.
What's in certain footballers' hidden folders? I guess maybe what's in.
I don't know. Welcome back to James and Flav for now, everyone. I've got a new bit here actually.
Oh, yeah.
Go on.
I've just got a hot take for you.
Okay. See, I've got a new bit called early hand grenade.
Oh, no, this isn't a hand grenade. I'm just going to educate a few people here.
Okay.
Right.
More so than you already have. We are.
I mean,
we are,
yeah. We are. This is going to blow your mind, but this. Valverde's good.
Yeah. Do you want to see his heat map?
I've seen his heat map. I was all over it. I jizzed all over his heat map already.
Real Madrid are well good, mate.
They're so good.
I've totally done a complete 180 on it. I was like, this is a lot of rubbish. I don't get it. But they won't get through the next round. And they won't get through the next round. They won't get through the next round that last year. This year, when they went through our first round, I was like, right, I've learned my lesson now. That's enough. They are class. And it's genius. I sort of got it last night. Like massively in terms of, I kept calling it marginal width, but like minimal width is this idea. I don't think Nagelsmann created it, but Nagelsmann likes it, where you basically turn the pitch into a five-a-side pitch, which is quite tight. And and by making it tight, which feels like it's counterproductive, by making it tight, it allows you to draw people in and pop the ball around them. And
if
then
you've got really good footballers, you can do it.
And then use space elsewhere. Exactly. So if you think of Real Madrid, their fullbacks stay sort of in line with the 18-yard box or just outside of it instead of hugging the touchline, so that they've got all their Modric's and Cruz's and all those guys in the, and Benzema in the middle. And then, but the real dollop of genius for me is Valverde and Vinicius Jr. Because you've got all these guys in this like contained space, and then you've got Vinicius Jr. off he goes, and Valverde just goes absolutely everywhere. They're really
sex.
Good.
He's absolute sex, the geezer. Look, that midfield, Cruz, Valverde, and Modric on its own is brilliant. But Camavinga should be probably playing in Cruz's role.
Yeah.
And they just said, do you know what? Can you just go left back for us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sit there for a bit. Do you want to play though?
Fucking up.
We've got loads of good ones. Do you mind drifting off to left back? Yeah, I'll go there. Do you mind if I go there and I'll just play like a wide playmaker anyway? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
James, that's what you used to do to like, that's what like the kid with the limp who wanted to play football when you was like 10, you'd put him left back.
Last week we were talking about Ashley Cole. Someone saying that Ashley Cole was in the top three Premier League players of all time. And there was a few comments about it. They said the problem with left back is it's a position that you play if you're not good enough to play elsewhere.
Yeah.
So how can you be that good? And that's fair. So there is truth in that. But Camavinga is ridiculously good. He's ridiculously good in the middle.
I know he's better in the middle, but you mean in the centre midfield?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. So that's his position. I do think like if you hear me go, look, if I keep playing well, they might leave me here. Like, that's what I was thinking. I was having a pee at half time. And I was thinking, if I'm Camavinga, am I happy to be out there at left back?
Yeah, because you've got to be careful, haven't you?
He solved a problem that he doesn't want to solve. Do you know what I mean? That someone else can solve it.
One must beware their own talent.
Yeah, sometimes. Like, and in my head, I don't know why this all played out. I was thinking, well, maybe like after a season of that, you probably have to get a move because like, this isn't where I want to play. But then when you come across as a like diva, as like a problem, like an attitude problem.
It's tough,
isn't
it?
That's not me. But I don't want to play left back.
Is there something that you do that with? I do that with barbecues. So if there's a barbecue, you go like, because you're a man, you're supposed to sort of get involved, right? But I'd sort of go up to the barbecue. What's that? That's coal, is it? Is one enough? One alpha male will come in and go, give it here, I'll sort this. Hang on, let me get the embers right. Now that's too hot. Fuck off. Make me a burger, considering you're the man here. Make me another burger.
Has this happened, James? This feels like it's happened.
I just find it hilarious. Like, it's Tusk. It's the worst. Probably too much. It's the worst type of toxic masculinity is the need to be the guy at the bar, the guy who's owning the barbecue. And it's so stupid because ultimately you're serving me.
Yeah, James, you've got to let this go. Whenever this happens to you, just let it go. All right?
I do let it go. I play dumb. I made up an idea that, oh no, I can't get too close to the barbecue because the smoke gives me diarrhea. From the ages of 9 to 14, I think it might have happened once, but that's probably because of the sweets I've been eating. Yeah, exactly. And then I went, ooh.
The barbecue gives you diarrhea.
Best I stay away. I'm not good with the smoke. But if you could bring me another sausage in a minute, that'd be great.
The thing is, James, is like when I'm at home, I'm like the missus, like she doesn't let me wash up because I'm not very good at it.
Oh, this is not. I mean, I quite like washing up.
I just, she's like, what's that? I was like, oh, left something in there. Have I better not do any more then. I haven't done any since.
Bottle of wine gets open. Brilliant. Right. Early hand grenade.
Yeah.
Ready? Ollie Thompson.
Go on.
Hi, James. Hiya. Did you see the horrendous Brighton Spurs game? Would love to know your thoughts on some of those decisions and perhaps what could be implemented to avoid such faults in the future. As a Brighton fan, I'm just so disheartened this season. We've now lost arguably 8 points to wrong decisions, brackets admitted and apologised by the powers that be. This turn has now lost our chances of top four.
Listen, can I just say something to you? Firstly, fucking Brighton fans en masse need to grow up a bit. Bad decisions happen in football all the time. Tottenham Hotspur got to the first ever and probably only Champions League football and conceded a penalty that should never have been a penalty. In fact, the laws were changed because of it. Within 40 seconds of that game starting and effectively the game was over. It happens. The other thing that wound me up, right, is I get frustration, but calling out these conspiracies that apparently exist.
I don't know though.
I just need to make this point because it's been winding me up. So if there seems to be this ongoing sort of narrative that for some reason in this instance, the referees have grouped together and gone, we need to help Spurs out. We need to help Spurs out, right?
Yeah.
And we're going to do that by punishing Brighton because we don't want Brighton to be in the top four. In what fucking world is that reality? It's not reality. There isn't a conspiracy. All there is money. The ones that have more money finish higher up the league. That's it. That's football. There's no conspiracy. You know what?
I don't know what it is. Is it some sort of pathetic homophobia towards the town of Brighton?
No.
Hmm?
No, I don't think so. Mm. I don't think it's that.
No, neither do I. I didn't think it as I was saying it.
I don't think it was that. Yeah. But the
good. Let's move on.
Yeah.
Crash on.
But what I would say, I will give Brighton credit. They are a fucking good side. And that's the first time I've properly, obviously, had to sit down and watch them this year.
Do you think they would have got top four if they hadn't been cheated?
If they'd have had them 8 points, then they would be entrenched in top four.
Yes, I start bloody over. Let's have a look. I've got to say, if I may, I know you're not going to.
Zoe's a bit of a prick as well, by the way. Isn't he? Do you know that? Did you know that? I didn't know that.
On this week's Ripple Effect, great one was sent in saying that De Zerbi won't get the Tottenham job now because of what kicked off. While Stellini, who you'll back, and you won't give De Zerbi the job or look to give him it, will certainly be gone by the summer anyway. So actually, you know, what are you trying to do here? What? That's weird. That's big. Here's the table. Yeah, 8 points more. They would be on. What would they be on? 46. They'd be on. Yeah, they'd be entrenched. They'd be entrenched alongside Newcastle and Man United.
They'd be entrenched. But do you know what I mean? It's bad decisions happen.
I'm going to have to push back on this. It was disastrously bad. Like, unacceptably bad. The handball is one thing, right? The penalty on Mitoma, when you can stop and go, and literally your job is to sit there and go, they've gone for a cup of tea at that point. They have to have. Something's happened.
What do you mean? What penalty? What are you talking about?
Penalty
where you can stop and go.
I think it's Højbjerg's, like, foot on Mitoma.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's so bad. It's the small clubs missing out again. He's right. Ollie's right. You don't feel like it is because...
No, it isn't. It's a moment that happened in a football game. There isn't an ulterior. It was a bad decision. It should have been given a penalty, but it was ineptitude. It wasn't some sort of conspiracy, some skullduggery that had gone on behind the scenes to make sure that Spurs didn't concede a penalty.
But my problem is, just you know, you say it's a moment. It's a moment. It's not a moment, because that's the whole point of VAR, isn't it? That it's not. It's like, it's a 5-minute period of time where you could have gone, or whatever it is. I can't
believe
the penalty.
I'm agreeing with you. It was a penalty. Right, it was a penalty. I'm agreeing with you. I'm just saying there isn't a conspiracy, and to tweet about it is, it makes you look stupid.
Thinking there's a conspiracy is stupid. I agree. But I don't think that's what Ollie said, to be fair to him.
It's not acceptable. This is James, just looking at the comments, that Jamie Moran says ineptitude isn't acceptable. It's not.
Totally agree.
It's not acceptable. But it isn't. There isn't. That penalty wasn't given because there was a bias towards Tottenham Hotspur. It was just ineptitude. That's all I'm saying.
Fair. Can I read a someone tweeted me about the VAR thing, and they said, "Where is it?" Like, you said, like, is, you know, are you going to do a video on this? Oh, here you go, Arthur. He says, assuming you're making a video on the VAR calls this Saturday, because I put a tweet out saying, a poll, like, get rid of VAR or it's too late.
Yep.
And, oh no, I think it was like, go back to 2018 before VAR, or essentially that's the championship still right now, or it's 2023, we've got to stick with it. And it just about, people said stick with it. It was still tight. It's like 55-45.
Wow. James, you can tell us then. You tell us, as somebody who's been watching the championship, when you have things that go against it, you know that VAR might
have
checked
it, right?
Does it affect? Do you miss that? Do you sometimes, when QPR have been aggrieved of a decision, do you think, I wish we had VAR so that we got that? Or do you think it's just better having a league that doesn't have to be stop-started like that?
It comes and goes, mate. Like, you'll probably get one, you probably won't. I actually think, in terms of, I know this is this might not work for people, but like, you don't always get what you want in life, and even with VAR,
you don't always get what you
deserve. You get what you get, right? So, what I do get is when the goal goes in, all I have to do is look at the linesman. He's not put his flag up. We get to enjoy ourselves on the few times it occurs. So I would still completely get rid. I would get rid. I think you could maybe do the offside one and do it on one where it's like, you know, it's a computer kind of thing. And you go, okay, hold your hands up. It's got like, we're just leaving that up to the computers. But otherwise, the other stuff, as we've said for 3 fucking years, CPM gone, it's too subjective. But yeah, Arthur, yes, Arthur the tweet said, assuming you're making a video on the VAR calls this Saturday, please include the Newcastle versus Brentford game calls. As an admittedly biased Newcastle fan, I do feel many poor calls against us have not been discussed this season. I replied, never. Never ever will I do a video on VAR. He replied, love that. I love that from you. I like that response. Love that from you. Bit of respect there, Mac. I will never do a full video on VAR. I'm not doing it. We'll talk about it in a podcast. I can't think of a worse video. Like, it's already destroyed Match of the Day 2 because they have to talk about it every single
constantly,
time.
Constantly. Yeah. You're talking about something that isn't involved in, that shouldn't be involved in the game. And every week they're talking about it. We're talking. Everyone's got to talk about it because you can't not talk about it. It's like avoiding the elephant in the room. We went on Soccer Saturday. No, Saturday Social.
Will he ever get it right?
Saturday Social. I went on Saturday Social. And I kind of got laughed at because they were talking about, can you give us like a quick, how do you solve the VAR issue?
Right.
And I said this, remove it for offsides. Let the linesman do his job.
Yeah, why are they there?
Yeah. But it's not even that. Just remove it for offsides. So no offsides are go down to VAR. And if a VAR can't make a decision in 30 seconds, you go with a referee. 30 seconds. They've got 30 seconds. Is it clear and obvious? We don't know. You go with a referee. That's it.
Yeah. I like that. I'm okay with that. I think it's one like, I just it's shit, mate. It's shit. It's boring. And you've, like, Alan Shearer and Danny Murphy are now the VAR of VAR. Like, they look at VAR after VAR fails. It's crap. it's crap. And do you know what? It's almost it's kind of immature for all of us. It's like, oh, we're not adult enough to kind of, well, you get some, you lose some, and that's football. Like, it's just pathetic. Two reviews per game, if you feel that aggrieved. Interesting.
I think it'll be used tactically, though.
It would. Totally.
You know, imagine like 85 minutes, teams on top. I'll review. I think we would think we saw a handball. Can you go back and check? Oh, where's the handball? I can't, it was over there somewhere.
Yeah. Just rock, paper, scissors it. Scissors Malaga. Yeah. I think it's an option. Like, the fact that you can, when a goal goes in, you can just enjoy it. Like, because if, when you, in your mind now, you retrained, like, goal goes in, is it a goal for you?
No. Exactly that, every single time. Where's the infringement? Where did it go wrong? How can this be pulled back? That's your first thought.
Horrific.
That's it.
Horrific.
It is horrific. We talked about this over and over again about how it's taken the very best element of football away. But yeah, that's what you're looking for. Is he offside? Then and now, right, what you're seeing is when you're seeing build-up play, you're not looking at the play. You're looking at which players, whether they're onside or not.
Pish.
And I know typically you can do, if you watch football long enough, you can kind of do all those things at the same time. Mm. But it seems like the position of the offside, potentially offside player, trumps everything else. That's fucking shit, man.
Yeah.
That said,
that's James, a good side of maybe QPR going down to League One. Just stay far away from VAR. Happy days.
You'd have a look at the league table, mate. It's, I mean,
have we stopped the rot, though? Have we stopped the rot? 2-2 draw against West Brom.
Okay.
That's as good as it gets right now. Okay. yeah. Although the Friday,
game there, didn't you?
The Friday was the worst game I've ever seen. Honestly, 31 years I've been supporting QPR. That is the worst game I've ever been to.
Did you boo at full time?
No, but, and you know what I'm like, right?
I know.
You know what I'm like. They were first of all, they were singing "You're Not Fit to Wear the Shirt," and I went, fair enough. I was like, I need to see some anger. Yeah, I was like, I need to see something.
You see something from them.
At some point, you need to poke the beast or the tepid, you know, early 20s footballers. Because nothing was happening. Do you know what though? Gareth Ainsworth, right? Say what you want about him, right? You know what happens. You know when you've had a bad performance and the manager will go, like, say you win the game. Manager's like that in your face, isn't he? He's like, yeah, right there with you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. High fiving everyone on his way round. If you lose badly, he's like,
yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's when Spurs lost to, who the fuck was it the other day? No, the Everton game. And apparently Dyer went off just to clap the fans. He went, fuck off the business. Get the fuck away from us. Get away from us.
But so when that happens, what I'll always notice is they will not come, that 18-yard line, that's their sort of, away from that is their safe zone. They'll stay away from the 18-yard line. But Ainsworth, to be fair to him, as I said, the worst performance I've ever seen QPR play, right, like literally 5 yards from the pitch. And you know what Loftus-Road is like, it's tight. So he was just like, no, he went, look, I am sorry. He's taking all this abuse. He's a diamond of a bloke. I don't like the football, I'll be honest. The style of football is not enjoyable. But
was he getting abused already?
No, honestly, he wasn't getting any abuse because you as players, if you've got to the top of the league and now you've won 2 in 25, it's on you guys. It's like, it can't keep being about the managers. This is about you now. So, but anyway, we got a bit of a response. 2-2 draw against West Brom, but it's not looking good. So League One, it could be for the sweet, sweet Rangers.
You should have all done the hacker.
Yeah.
You should have all done the hacker in the stands. Sorry, cut you any down.
That's not a bad shout, actually. But there was a bit, I don't know if you saw me retweet the absolutely beautiful idea by the QPR media team. The little girl had cerebral palsy, it allowed her to score a goal. I wonder if Barstool will clip that up in a minute. And when we lose our next game.
Fuck yeah, they are.
Scam.
They are scum. Although, you know what we're getting accused of quite a lot on the Fighting Cock now is...
What, your podcast? Saying... Or Tottenham?
No, on the podcast, on our Twitter account. It's sort of, you do a tweet and then it's like, it's quite close to what someone else has tweeted that we've never seen.
Right.
Just because you're a big account, you can't rip people off. It's like, oh, we delete everything. If anyone says that and we've seen it, we could delete it, right?
Was that like, Poet calling you out?
No. It was
right. Falsely.
It was. We just did something. There was a Kanye West tweet that says, "I can't be managed. I have no manager. I can't be managed."
Right.
And we quote tweeted it with Tottenham, Eric Dyer, something like that. And then someone put something very similar and got loads of hate for it.
It's funny that, isn't it? Like you because until you get to a certain size, obviously no one really cares. But yeah, you get a lot of that. I get a lot of that. Mm. Right, let's keep going. Go on. No, go on.
I was going to say I've never enjoyed football as much as I'm enjoying it right now. I'm watching every game. I don't know if I like everything. Anything that's on telly at the moment, I'm watching.
You okay?
I watched Wrexham Notts County.
I mean, that's a cracking game. Let's talk about that. Wow, we were.
I'm starting to turn on them.
On Wrexham, I knew you would.
I don't think it's fair that they managed to get Premier League goalkeepers to go and play in the conference.
I mean, the ripple effect of that is just fantastic. If he doesn't start the YouTube channel, he's not playing for Wrexham right now.
Absolutely, 100% nailed on. Is he even getting paid?
Not a lot. No. Not a lot.
You know they're losing money, lots.
Wrexham.
Mm.
Of course.
Like Mullin shouldn't be playing in the conference.
Yeah, I told you this. I've told you all this.
I know, but I didn't really listen to you.
No.
Now I know.
Right.
Mullin's so good.
Sorry, this is just he's way too good for that level. Yeah, totally. I did, I've been doing this sort of a few now. Now, there'll be the QPR Dream Teams one, which I think this is the best format I've ever created, by the way. So if you haven't seen the Ilias Chair Chris Willock one, basically it's dream teams and you have a team each and then you put forward your player in each position and whoever puts forward the best reason goes into the ultimate team and I decide. So we did that and we just let it be sort of carte blanche, right? For the first two, and the West Brom one's coming out very, very soon. And both of them are great. Daryl DK and Ajayi. And they're like, it's amazing. I think I've really uncovered a format that footballers actually enjoy because they're just talking about something that they know and their own experiences. So I'm really excited about it. Anyway, I did one yesterday in Ipswich Town. It was Freddie Ladapo and Connor Chaplin, who are like both top scorers for Ipswich. And Freddie Ladapo, mate, it got so heated. It was unbelievable, right? And there's one of the talking points was it was Messi up against... It'll come out in the next couple of weeks. It was Messi.
All right.
It was Messi up against... They got so into it, into like the battle of it. And it was so funny. You could see them like change and try and pull at your heartstrings. And mate, I actually don't even know if this will go out because I'm really concerned that they told me so much amazing stuff because they started to realize, my player gets in the team if I tell you something insightful, not if they're better or worse. So they start going, oh, this guy... So. For example, one of the players got kidnapped. Another one nearly fell asleep at the wheel and killed the other one. And another one was sick on a plane. And another player bought a Lamborghini with cash. So,
you're getting all this
all
great...
has come out. But the problem is, what I'm concerned about, unfortunately, obviously, I can say this on this podcast because the EFL won't be watching it. But I'm scared that they're going to go. I don't want you to put that out.
Is there a way that will it be a PR thing or they just don't want to put it out on their channel? Can you have
it's on my channel. It's on my channel. So hopefully it'll all be fine.
I see.
So we'll see. We'll see. But if not, I'll put it on Patreon and just let people watch it. is that allowed? Probably not. Anyway, but what I was going to say was what I loved it because you kind of did there where you weren't listening. So Freddie Ladapo, they were talking about Messi and Ronaldo and Freddie Ladapo was a Ronaldo guy. And he said at the World Cup final, those two, Connor Chaplin looked at him and he went, no, remember, World Cup, we all watched the World Cup final together. And then when Messi won it, you went, yeah, he's the GOAT now. And Freddie Ladapo, though, because he was still in this sort of competition trying to win and get his player in instead, his player was Ronaldinho. He goes, no, I've changed my mind though, because Messi's a snake. And I was like, what do you mean Messi's a snake? He's like, well, he left Barcelona, he's a snake. And I was like, no, he had to leave Barcelona. They couldn't pay his wages. He went, well, he could have done it for less. He went, no, Freddie, there's like legalities to this. You can't pay less than 50%, otherwise it's fraud. He went, nah, snake. He just didn't want to hear it. He just wasn't. I was like, Freddie, listen to what I'm saying. He's like, nah, snake.
Yeah, I love that. Amazing. It's just, I don't care. This is my opinion. I'm never going to change it.
Just wasn't having it. It was so good. Anyway. Oh, yeah. Right. AA, AA Battery says, and we're still in the sort of early parts of this podcast, but you should go through each position every week and pick the best two in that position to have played in the Prem. Then the slugs can battle it out in the comments and pick who reigns supreme.
All right. Let's do right back.
Okay. So just to, well, you start with a goalie, don't you?
Have we done left back already?
Yeah, we kind of have done left back. It's obviously right, just a goal, isn't it? It's obviously
goalkeeper.
Okay, goalkeeper. All right. And by the way, yeah, last couple of weeks we've been looking at who are the top three Premier League players, but we're moving away from that now. We're starting to build a team. Right, goalkeepers. Two best goalkeepers of all time.
I won't say Lloris because people just go Spurs, but it is Lloris.
Do you know what? There's a massive problem, I think, for players who played in the 90s. No one rates them anymore.
I mean, Schmeichel probably is the best goalkeeper the league's ever seen, but it was so long ago.
That's it. Like, Shearer's only in there now because of the goals.
He's top of the pile, isn't he?
And he is like, but I'm like feeling it now where you're going to go, oh, no, he was unbelievable. And they're going, you know, young people just go,
I better go and watch him on YouTube. The problem is Schmeichel in this modern era would struggle playing it out from the back, that sort of thing. He was the best shot stopper I've ever seen.
What's the criteria here, Flav? Like, is there a criteria that you can apply that would allow Schmeichel to fairly battle it, and of course Nigel Martin, to fairly battle it out against the De Gea's of this world or the Edisons and the Allisons?
I think the reason why you got to pick Schmeichel, I don't know what criteria is, but he would get into every team. He's better than every goalkeeper currently playing.
Do you know what? You know, people talk about like sort of points saved is maybe a good one for goalkeepers. Because I think that points saved or accrued. No, I don't know, because I'm trying to allow it to be an attacking thing as well. But because the one thing I would say is, right, people would go, Peter Schmeichel, he'd save you 15 points a season. And I'd be like, okay, but, right, you're playing for Man United, who dominate every game, and he makes three saves a game. Whereas Rob Green for Rangers, he's keeping the fucking score down here. He's actually probably he's probably saved us more embarrassment. Well, I remember there was a goalie called Dave Watson who played for Barnsley. His career was cut short. I think he's done a Ben Foster podcast. Became a goalie coach for England, I think. He was world class for Barnsley in a season that they went down. But no one knows. No one cares.
Ramsdale's been relegated three times in his career or something. He's gone to Arsenal and he could win the league this year.
Yeah.
It means how well you perform under the circumstances in which you're put in. Do you know what I mean? It would be shot saved, points saved, that kind of thing. There should be like an X. Is there an XS?
Yeah, there's like it's not expected saves. It's like XG sort of, I can't remember what the name of it is now, but it's one where you should have conceded eight goals, you've conceded four. Matthew Blake says, Peter Cech won everything without a skull.
That is true. Schmeichel did have a skull.
Quite the skull. I mean, it's all personal, isn't it? You're not going to totally do this fairly. Who would be your two?
Schmeichel's definitely there. Probably David Seaman.
I would go... Do you know what I struggle with Schmeichel? Schmeichel in 99 was shit. no one will have it.
He won the treble.
Yeah, but he was shit. I'm sure he was. I'm sure he was. People are that was but Man United fans will be screaming right now.
Yeah. I'll get Adam McCullough on the line.
He was past it. I'm telling you.
Listen to me. There was in that season, he had a lot of injuries. And specifically a game, we stopped them from doing the quadruple, by the way. Not many people know that. Mm. We had them in the League Cup semi-final or quarter-final, and we beat them 3-1 at White Hart Lane. Actually, do you know what? I'm remembering my seasons wrong. It wasn't that season. No, we definitely beat them that season, but there was another game we beat them 4-1.
No, okay.
And he had a mark. He had an injury.
Is this going anywhere?
Not really. He had an injury. He had an injury, basically.
Right.
He wasn't as good.
Good. And because it's a podcast, I'm not going to cut this out. Shame.
But imagine if that was on the Ripper effect, and I just said that, and you're like, why is he going?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Oh, I just cut it out. Right, I'm going to go with... Do you know who I do think is wonderfully good? Alisson. I do think Alisson's so good. I'm going to go... Peter Cech, people screaming at Peter Cech as well. But again, Peter Cech was in an unbelievable Chelsea defence in front of him.
Yeah, but of course, all the best goalkeepers are going to be in front of the best defences, aren't they? Let me give you a list. There's a list according to how they play website, right? And then you can, from this list, you can pick.
Okay.
So you've got Courtois at 10. It's not even worth considering. No,
what I would say, though, at Real Madrid, you know, when they get, like, if you get through, there was a chance of João Félix to get through. He didn't really have the pace to get the shot off properly. But when he does shoot, it then, and you see Courtois catch it, you just go, how are you supposed to get it past him?
Yeah, it's true. Shea Gibbon was here. Brad Friedel, it's just the number of games he played.
Hugo Lloris, was good, seven. Though.
Yeah, he was. He was good. He, you know, even at the end of his career at Spurs, he was. He still did. It was a handsome job. Pepe Reina. So the top five is De Gea.
That's Van der Sar. That is big side bias nonsense bullshit. Nigel Martin not in that list? And who was the last one you said? Pepe Reina. Get out. Go away. That is utter nonsense. But Pepe Reina ahead of Nigel Martin. That's a disgrace. David Seaman not on that list?
Either. Yeah, he is. I'm only halfway down.
All right, sorry.
He might be in it.
Is Nigel in there?
David De Gea is there. Van der Sar. Petr Cech is 3. David Seaman 2. And Schmeichel's 1. It's got to be Schmeichel or Seaman. I don't... As good as those other teams... As good as the other, all these other goalkeepers listed.
Where's Nigel?
Nigel was a great goalkeeper.
Outrageous longevity goalkeeper. As well. Right, I will go for...
We can put Nigel Martin in there if you want.
Nigel Martin needs to be in that 10 and Pepperini needs to go away. But anyway.
But what about the two?
So the two... do you know what the two I would go for? There's a name that we didn't speak about there, but I think I would chuck him in there because he did it at a club like mid-table and did it at the highest level. The two I'm going to go for is, I just don't like Schmeichel as a person. That's the reason why I'm going against Schmeichel. But I think you probably got to go, I just don't like, he's just like, ugh. He's been dipped in annoying, isn't he?
Oh, honourable mentions are Nigel Martin.
Thank you. I would say mentions. The top two for me, Alisson and Edwin van der Sar.
So you don't want to have Schmeichel in there?
Probably should have.
You've got to have Schmeichel. You have to. It looks ridiculous if you don't.
I'd have Edwin van der Sar and Schmeichel then.
Van der Sar and I'll have Schmeichel. Okay. It's up to the Sluggies to decide.
Up to the Sluggies, you decide.
Go Sluggies.
Just literally just comment, just the word Schmeichel or van der Sar. Because that way I can do it quickly. Okay, good. Next week, centre-backs. Slugs in the Wild. Oh, yeah. Just want to give a shout out to Enzo Fanis. Just been dumped after a 3.5-year relationship. This pod is the first time I've smiled in days. Cheers, lads. Aww. Enzo, we see you. Mate, she was rubbish, but like, all your mates said it. She was crap. Don't worry about her. Or him. I don't know. But whatever that relationship was, that person was rubbish. You're great. Okay?
I'm presuming you're... Yeah, I mean, look, come to the next live show. Get a nosh. You know, there's plenty...
Get back on your feet.
Yeah, plenty of attractive people at the live show.
Get an osh, give an osh, get back on your feet. Either way. Yeah, good luck to you. We see you. What have we got here? Calling it. Freddie Molyneux's back, Flav.
I saw him in the chat, and I just can't even think about Freddie Molyneux ever again.
Well, he's got another story here.
I can't think about that ending of that story.
Mate, you stop talking about that because that's such an annoying thing to do. You go, oh, this thing, and I can't tell you it. No, I can't tell you it. I can't tell you it. It's annoying. So stop doing that.
No, you can ask Freddie. Freddie can tell you it. He can do it. It's just we can't. Freddie's in the chat. Don't do it in the chat now, but find him on Twitter or whatever, and I'm sure he'll tell you the story.
Right. Freddie, what's your Twitter? Why tell us then?
Why come up to me outside? Why come up to me? And not just to me. They thought, oh, that was good. I'm going to go and tell James now as well. It will never leave my brain.
Yeah. And do you know what? The thing is, because that's the thing, I would say, you don't need to know, Tom. You don't need to know. You don't. I'm doing you. You've like, we've been doing this podcast a long time. Trust me here. You don't want to know the story. You don't want to know it. I'm telling you.
I think hands down the worst story I've ever heard. Probably. Scurried.
Tarrowing.
That's the word.
Tarrowing.
Scurried away.
Oh, Catherine's been told. Freddie just tapping people on the shoulder. 200 people. All right, guys. Yeah, it was me up there doing the story. I've got another one, though. Just ruining people's, like, just... ruining people's lives.
Yeah. He's just walking around ruining people's lives. That's what really did.
We need to wash this away. Freddie, 1 week ban.
1 week ban, Freddie.
Freddie, do us a favour. Just fucking give it a rest, will you? Tom Jordan got told as well. Fucking Freddie. What's going on?
How many times did you tell this horrendous story? Tom Jordan got told. Spread like wildfire.
Freddie walks away from the live game. John, that was a really good in. Next week into the club. All right, ladies, got a little story for you.
So Freddie said to me outside, he went to me, I've got this terrible story, but I'm not sure. It's awful. And I was like, you don't have to tell me. No, it's awful. I feel bad. I don't want to say it now.
Don't then. He's like, nah, well, all right then. All right, then. You bet my arm. Anyway, can we have a clue? You don't want a bloody clue, I'm telling you.
You don't want a clue. You don't want to know. Ask Leon. Catherine knows. Go and ask her.
Yeah, if you need to know, ask Catherine. Yeah. Although, again, I would say, Catherine, don't tell them.
You don't want to know this. It's horrible.
Okay, right, let's stop. Anyway, if
someone shows you a video and said, this is a disgusting video of something you don't want to see, do you then look at the video? Is that... You kind of want to, don't you?
But
no, but I don't. I'm like,
sometimes you've got to just trust.
Here's a picture of a fucking, you know, some poor bastard getting beheaded.
Fine. Got it.
Oh, yeah, I can't say it. Sorry.
Anyway, Freddie's got another story. Got another calling it story. Don't worry, boys. This one won't leave you mentally scarred. Wink, wink emoji. Cheers, Fred. Bing! Right. It's about my old man taking my brothers and sister swimming when they were younger. Brackets. I was just an accident waiting to happen at this point. My two older brothers were about 10 and 7, and my younger sister was just a toddler. When they arrived, my dad took my sister off to the baby pool. I told my brothers they could go off by themselves and play in the big pool. Be good, lads. I'm trusting you, were my dad's final words. Anyway, 20 minutes later, the lifeguard comes and taps my dad on the shoulder. My 7-year-old brother trailed behind him in floods of tears. Excuse me, sir. Is this your son? Yes, it is. What's the matter? I'm afraid your son has been making water in the pool. Making water in the pool? You mean he's weeding the pool? I'm afraid to say so, sir. For God's sake, don't all kids do that? There's no need to embarrass him and march him over here in front of everyone. He said, that might be the case, sir, but they don't usually do it from the top diving board. It's a good little punchline at the end, Freddie. Well done.
Yeah, that was like a joke.
Yeah.
Good.
Sadly, most of your stories end in a different kind of punchline.
Yeah, yeah. It actually did. The last thing he said about the story, Freddie tells a good story, I think.
Yeah,
ends on the punch. Land on this, and now this will fuck you in the head. that is good. I'm not calling that. I think that was true, 100%.
Okay. Right. Are you calling this one? Blake Davies. Back in 2019, I spent a weekend in Madrid alone after drunkenly buying the wrong flights for the Champions League final to watch Liverpool. I purchased flights on the 1st of July rather than the 1st of June. I went away without telling anyone, and on my first day, I remember seeing quite a few dwarves. Small people. What? I don't know what you're supposed to...
Small people.
Okay, but for the story, I'm going to say dwarves from here in. I apologise if anyone's offended. So I decided to keep a running tally. At the end of the day, I had seen 7 dwarves. I had a call with my friends that evening and told them about this. One of my friends, James, who I consistently like to do a light bit of gaslighting to, immediately burst out with, 7 dwarves? You expect me to believe that you've seen 7 dwarves? Did they have a sleeping princess with them as well? I had not made that connection between the 7 dwarves from the fairy tale and the actual 7 I had seen in my mind. But due to my gaslighting nature to him, I was never believed. To this day, he still doesn't believe I was ever even in Madrid. Thoughts left? Calling it?
That's like the way you just ended that and went, thoughts, Flav. What do you want me to say to that? So his story, it's not even a story. His story is that he accidentally bought the wrong plane tickets on the wrong day, went to the place where he wasn't supposed to be going, and then saw 7 dwarves.
Mm.
End of story.
All the tourism he could have done, just sort of spent the day hunting
for little people.
Yeah, don't worry about it. I'm close to calling it, but I'm going to leave it. Okay, it's a story. Get your calling it stories that we wouldn't believe in the comments, please. Make sure it's good. Make sure it's close to unbelievable. Bit of football chat. I almost want to just read your messages out here because I said to Flav, I said, what do you want to talk about? And Flav just wrote, this is word for word. He went, Chelsea, Arsenal cracking, next Spurs manager, QPR, Klopp out, Robertson and that elbow. Someone drew a massive cock on my car. Madrid being sex. I'm in love with football again. It's weird.
That's the running order.
That is essentially the running order. So, yeah, anything you want to pick off here? Arsenal cracking?
Yeah.
Touch on that?
Yeah.
Do you remember we finished the pod last week? You were like, give me something. And I sort of did say, well, you know, if they don't...
You did, didn't you?
...result this week.
They need to...
It Arsenal wasn't... fans cracking a little bit. Can I say that? Because I did a video that evening looking at the fixtures and I thought, I sort of came away thinking, all I said was, I think Arsenal are underdogs here because the games they've got are harder. You know, Chelsea at home, if you don't understand the nuance of Chelsea at home for Arsenal being harder than Chelsea, I can't remember if Chelsea are at home or if Arsenal are at home in that one, but basically Arsenal and Man City have both got to play Chelsea. That's a harder game for Arsenal than it is for Man City because it's a London derby.
Yeah, because of the... It's London derby, the history between it. Chelsea will want it.
Yeah.
Lampard understands it. It is a harder game, yes, for exactly. Arsenal than it is City.
And like, yeah, and a few of the other ones. But the Arsenal fans were like, why are you throwing so much hate just because we've drawn one game? It's like...
Oh, no, it's,
you're stupid, aren't you? Oh, no, fundamentally, you're stupid.
No, fundamentally, I've told you about this at Arsenal, is that if it isn't going 100% well, they fall apart because there is no foundation. There's no footballing foundation to their club. What their club is built on is nothing, right? So their fans are by proxy very devoid of any kind of resilience. So what I would say... But them just saying it was just a draw, the whole world knows, and you know, that that draw was really significant to how where the title might go on. If you'd have won that game, I'd have said, it's Arsenal's. It's done. It's Arsenal's. But the fact that not only did you draw it, you should have lost handsomely. Look, all I'm saying, James, and it is just one game, but it's going to be great if they don't win the league because they should have. They should have. And what I saw in that second half didn't look like a Premier League winning team. It looked like a tired bunch of players. Players that performed brilliantly, out of their skin, really, but they looked knackered. And you know, Manchester City, on the other hand, look like they've just kicked off. Looks like they've just started. They look fresh. And that is because they've got two squads, effectively, for two first 11s, whereas Arsenal got 12, 13 brilliant players. Which have cost a fortune to amass, by the way, but they are brilliant. They are like they'll be going again.
I think the Arsenal squad's better than. I think they're great. I think Arsenal. There's someone King's asking me there. Are they still your sweet sweet Gunners, Jim? Yes, they are. I turned off the game at half time because I had an Easter meal. And that's why I didn't do a sort of breakdown of that game that evening. I know everyone's been wanting to know the answer to that. And that's why. And I was like, I couldn't believe it. There was 2-2. Because they were so... I found that they were quite dominant.
They were dominant in the first half. Second half, like the save, there's two saves that Ramsdale made. The second save especially. Like, so how he didn't score that. They missed the penalty. They conceded two goals. Every time Liverpool came forward, they looked dangerous. And you're going to have that in times in the season. But why this is significant is this is what Man City has done previously, is they get into this groove at this point of the season where they seem unstoppable. They tore Bayern Munich apart, Bayern Munich, no less.
Mm.
And you'd expect them to do it again. If Arsenal can go to the Etihad and not lose, then you'd say the advantage is now back with Arsenal. But effectively... We've seen Man City win every game they've needed to win before. They look fresh. They've got two strikers. It's going to be difficult. And, you know, as Laura Wood said, we don't have to win the league. It's been a great season.
Apparently
isn't about winning, as I've been told over and over again as a Spurs fan. It's about the journey now. Now that Arsenal might not win the league, now it's about the journey, apparently.
What journey? What I would say, right, is... Because I think I heard the same bit actually. Ray Parler said, he said, you know, no one remembers second place.
Yeah, so we were both listening to Talks at the same time.
Right? Isn't that weird? Because I don't really listen to that, the breakfast show.
I love you, Jim.
I would massively disagree with that over the last 5 years. Because whilst Man City have been so perfect, when you think of those seasons, you think of the two of them. You think of Liverpool as well. You do think of Liverpool as second place. Maybe, you know, bigger fan base, more of a spotlight. All the pundits are Liverpool fans. There isn't that same focus on Man City ever. And that might be a reason for it as well. But the bottom line is, for Arsenal to win it, they have to be perfect. Because Man City are consistently
perfect.
And Liverpool, see, that's it. What I found amazing, like they asked them about... Has this been a great team, this Liverpool team? Like, they have been great. Like, there's no doubt that they've been one of the great teams. The problem is Man City have been absolutely perfect for 5 years now, pretty much, apart from the one season that Liverpool took it. And so it's not your normal title anymore. You can have a little go. You've got a puncher's chance, but you have to be absolutely perfect. And that's like, it's not a resounding failure, but you know, it's elite sport. You have a win or you lose. There's a reason when we go to the table, there's a reason there's a line there. You're first or you're second. And
yeah,
if you're second, you're second. But Arsenal will be remembered, just like Liverpool will be remembered. But sadly, history will probably turn its nose up at it a little bit. And even those pundits straight away were like, you've only won one title there. It's not a great team. And you can do that when you're Roy Keane. But the truth is that has been a great team, that Liverpool team.
Yeah. Liverpool team's been a great team. But just quickly back to Arsenal, is what they will be remembered for if they don't win the league here is not being second best, but just absolutely fucking bottling it. That's how they'll be remembered by fans, unfortunately for them. Like Laura Woods was saying, well, no, if you ask an Arsenal fan, they will say, I'll remember it as an Arsenal fan. I'll remember that season as an amazing, amazing season. That's fine. You can, as an Arsenal fan, remember it how you like. It's your prerogative, right? Everyone else remember it as you bottling it. That's how it's going to be remembered.
Well, okay, right. Answer me this. What, for Arsenal to not win the league, right? So Man City, game in hand and better goal difference, right? So win their game in hand, up to 70, win and beat Arsenal, 73, and they win it on goal difference. If the two of them win every other game of the eight games and they lose on goal difference, have they bottled it?
Look, as a Spurs fan, yes, they've bottled it. But
because it suits my absolutely. And I would have been disappointed if you said anything else.
No, yeah, of course. To me, that they would be. But remember, look, the opinions and the tone in which I, you know, express them when I'm talking about Arsenal, the things I say, are a product of what's been said and done to me.
Sure.
Over decades.
Understood.
So if I come across as a bit sort of smug or maybe a little bit over the top when talking about Arsenal, it's your lot's fault for what you did to me. And now I'm Teflon because it doesn't bother me anymore. And you lot are, at the moment, I think your arsehole's going a little bit. That's the sense I get from Arsenal is that they're a little bit worried about West Ham at the weekend, whereas they wouldn't have been if they'd have beaten Liverpool.
That is the great thing about this part of the season is that every game, like the reverberations of every game are just so huge. So huge. Even a draw, you know, draw away at Liverpool is not a terrible result, obviously. But it just piles pressure on the next one. That's the thing. That's the big thing.
And look, in my head, I still think Arsenal will win it. I feel like they will win. I feel like I'm desperate for City to win the league, obviously. And I'm watching every City game in the same way that I'm watching Spurs fans. I'm actively supporting City in the same way that I support Spurs at the moment. Like when City score, I scream louder than I do them when Spurs score. Honestly. When is it Salah who got the equaliser or Darwin? I can't remember who got the equaliser against Arsenal. Oh, mate, Darwin, I erupted. Yes.
Did you, yeah. Just loving football, though, aren't you?
They're probably... I love football at the moment. But they're probably... you know, they should... They played the best football, the most exciting football, and they, you know, Spurs hat off. If you don't really want Man City to win the league, you want a team that's gone about things slightly differently. Although, let's not forget how much money they've spent on this squad.
Noted. I did a video on that Sunday night, and I'm like, I stand by what I'm saying. Man City are favourites to win the league, in my opinion. Arsenal can absolutely win the league. And Man City got to play a lot of games. But they've been here before and they just look really good. What would be interesting this weekend is I would not be surprised if Man City, after everything I've said, Man City having played as well as they did against Bayern Munich, but Bayern Munich sort of came and had a bit of a go at them, they somehow draw with Leicester this week. I really wouldn't be surprised.
No.
And then it's back to Arsenal, isn't it?
It's back to Arsenal, yeah. Then it's back to Arsenal. Like, if that happens, then it's back to Arsenal. But I just... they look inevitable at the moment. They just look incredible.
Yeah.
And Arsenal fans looking at that Bayern Munich game and you're thinking, Jesus.
That's it.
It was like Bayern Munich weren't even there.
Well, that's it. Because I sort of, there was a bit of like, oh, you can't, you know, oh, that like Bayern Munich kind of played bad. A few people sort of saying that. I felt like both games, I thought they got it wrong. The sort of the storyline at the end of it. First one, they kind of have. Well, they're saying a bit about Bayern Munich not being great. Bayern Munich played well. Man City were just too much. Too much.
Yeah. You cannot stop City when they're like that.
They were frothing at the mouth. Yeah. And the Chelsea one are going, this tie's not over. Tie's over. It is.
Oh. I've got a sneaky feeling. I don't know what it is. I don't know why.
Surely not. I just, if like 1+1, I know 1+1 doesn't make like 2 in football, but you've got a team that hasn't scored in 4 games with an interim manager who looks like a competition winner. Like in terms of when I saw him there, I'm like there and against Ancelotti, I'm like this. Wow! Although both Everton managers, which is amazing.
Do you know that is incredible. It's meant, don't you feel like when Lampard, he looks so buzzing to be there. That's an issue. If your manager is buzzing to be at your football club, and this is coming from 3 years of Conte and Mourinho, like that's how scarred I am.
Yeah,
your manager should be happy to be there. Should want to be there.
Not absolutely. Too much. All right, Roy.
He shouldn't be like you said, like he's won a competition.
Yeah, it just feel. Well, I mean that by like, he
what
shouldn't.
What is he doing
he
there, James?
Be there.
What is he doing there?
He's there for vibes. He's there for vibes, mate. And he thought something would click. But you look at how they're playing, mate. There's no. They basically give the ball to Enzo Fernandez and go, just ping it from side to side.
Yeah, he
do something with that. And that's what I mean. Look, of course this will get clipped up. And do you know, I'm happy to go there. And I know you go, oh, it's the QPR Chelsea thing. That Real Madrid team has experience, composure, chemistry, legs, pace, guile, finishing ability, one of the best goalies in the world, like everything, right? And I know it's at Stamford Bridge and special things happen at Stamford Bridge, but you've then got a Chelsea team who are not a team. They're crap.
They haven't got forward.
Well, they've got loads of forwards, but they've got no one who can score a goal, for sure.
Well,
like, that's, I agree.
Number nine.
Yeah.
On the other side, you've got the best midfield in the world. You've got the best number nine in the world. You've got probably the best winger in Vinicius in the world.
Yeah, I just can't see it.
I can't remember the geezer's name. Is it Tchouaméni?
Tchouaméni.
True, yeah. He didn't even start yesterday.
Yeah, he doesn't. He generally doesn't.
Wow.
Yeah.
But they do have an ability to get in behind. And this is the thing, is they sometimes look impressive on the break. Like Joao Felix on the break.
There's a moment.
And he looks, the way he carries the ball, I think he's a really good player.
Mm.
But that's only part of the job. The most important bit is how you get the ball into the net. And without a number nine, it's very easy, or much easier, to play this attacking sort of counter-attacking brand of football to look great if you're not, you're abandoning your number nine and just putting another player into the attacking midfield or a forward or a deep line forward, something like that. It's a lot easier to look good on the approach.
Yeah, totally. But the thing is as well, even the approach, like, it's hesitant. Like there was a moment where Raheem Sterling got the ball and I think Chilwell was maybe on the left of him and it was like, go, like in transition, go, there's space. And Raheem Sterling went and then stopped, came back.
Yeah.
And the final thing, nail in the coffin for me with this, is what one must remember is Chilwell's not playing in this game. Cucurella will play in this game of football. And he is.
I still like him.
I don't. Look, I'm sure he'll probably come back and be a solid player. He is 100 miles off it. He is miles off it, defensively in particular. Like that, Chilwell gets sent off because Cucurella's just miles off it. So there's just no way. I just can't see it. But yeah, watch this game. No. Up. But me, you know, I'm like, I jinx it. My Jordan Ayew tweet. Absolutely unbelievable last week. It was crazy.
Well, this is, look, famously in our WhatsApp group, famously of the 12 people in it, what was famous about that 12 people is that one of the people in it, I won't say his name in case he's embarrassed, is he said, Son ain't going to do shit. We're saying, bring Son off the bench. And his words are Son in capitals, Son ain't going to do shit. He came on and scored a hat trick in 15 minutes.
That's class.
We renamed the group.
That's a good bit. That's a good bit, famously, because fam hates that. Because I always go, I talk about my family, I go, oh, famously, dad does this, or whatever it was. Like, what's something that you famously do? Let us know in the comments. We'll finish off with some fucked up games. For those who don't know, this started with like, this used to be called cool at school chat, things that were cool at school. And it's sort of turned into fucked up games. It turns out that all young men, and women probably as well, but in particular, it seems like young boys love a bit of violence at break time. Melwin, on the topic of fucked up school games, we had a game in our school called Gaddafi. Yes, Gaddafi, as in Muammar al-Gaddafi, the Libyan dictator. We were about 9 years old at the time. The game was played on a massive slide at the playground. One kid was assigned to be Gaddafi, and he would stand at the top of the slide. The rest of the nine-year-olds would start at the bottom and struggle to ascend to the top of the slide, while Gaddafi would kick them and push them down. Weirdly political for a bunch of nine-year-olds. Yeah, I get it. I think it's really good. Luke Bromage. We used to play a game at school called the sliding game. It started out as having a football and dribbling around the field while everyone tried to slide tackle you. Through the years at school, it gradually got more aggressive until the last year when it got banned and we weren't allowed a football at lunch. So we continued to play without a ball and just ran around fly kicking the shit out of each other. Simpler time. Yeah. And last one, Jay Tomlins. A game we played at school was ankle tag. which was just tag, but you had to kick their ankles to get them. This resulted in kids absolutely taking another's legs just to get them. It got banned after one lad broke his arm after flying onto the concrete after being tagged. Oh,
wow.
Lovely. Lovely, lovely, lovely. And there you have a footballing podcast. I think that's it. Was there anything else? Oh, sorry. Someone drew a massive cock on your car.
Yeah. I'll post it on Twitter if you want to go and see.
Okay. There you go. Clop out. Do you want to just quickly take that off?
Clop out. No, let's do it next week.
Running out of time? I guess we all are in a way.
I saw a great clip from Pep Guardiola. When Pep Guardiola talks about football, it is really interesting the way he ticks. Yeah. And he was talking about, I can't remember who was interviewing, Rio Ferdinand was interviewing him, saying about Cancelo letting him go. And whether Kyle Walker can play in an inverted fullback role, and he said, "What you have to realize is, you have to change the squad. You can't win trophies with the same set of people. It's impossible. Really? So sometimes you have to let the players go. And Cancelo to Bayern Munich to him made complete sense. To all of us, is like he's like incredible last season. He's going." This is what you have to do to build to maintain a team that can perform at 90 to 100% all the time is by changing the squad. And you think about what Sir Alex Ferguson, I can't believe I just said that, Alex Ferguson, right? My fucking club. So I'm not calling him Sir. Anyway, Alex Ferguson. This is the thing, mate. This is the fucking thing. You give people titles, it becomes entrenched, and then people that don't want to use these titles accidentally say it like that. Anyway, He sold players at the right time. That was one of his best skills, is getting rid of the player at the right time. Beckham, Yap Stam was a big one. You know, there was only a few players that were just too good for him to let go. Roy Keane, Scholes.
He went, didn't he?
Eventually, yeah. He doesn't actually like Alex Ferguson much. Whenever he talks to him, he's like...
He hates him.
Yeah. Did you see the... the clip of Roy Keane. I love Roy Keane. He's my favourite.
When he was calling Rob,
third baby. And they all just lose it because they're trying to keep it together.
Yeah. And I saw that one live. I've never seen that, but it's baby.
Mate, what do you think of that then, Jim? Let's end on this. I've never seen a lot. I was there for it. Like, referees and linos get a lot of abuse. And he's just like, don't touch me. Bosh.
Yeah. It popped into my head. Baby of the week. If you spot a baby, let us know. We'll put it in the who's a baby? Baby. Yeah, I thought the elbow was really high, wasn't it? I really appreciate it was Gary Neville going, it's nothing, is it?
Yeah.
He went like that, get off. I was like,
yeah, they don't have to blow it out of proportion.
I don't think anyone thinks
it is that bad, though, do we?
Well, do you know what I don't like? So again, another thing that me and Fam disagree on, and she can't get her head around it, is Robertson's a snitch here. I get, like, you're a snitch. You've got to, he's with me in the back. Shut up, mate. You're fine, baby.
Baby.
he's a snitch. He's a snitch. What's he hoping for? He should be, that linesman needs to be sent off. Okay.
All right. He's going to miss the next game.
I've got another one. Oh, hang on. There's another one. They should be down to two men or three men. We've got, like, what does he want? What does he want?
Snitching. Just reacting.
Snitching. And I like Robertson.
Street code. You're talking about the street code. Is that what you're saying?
Snitches. I do that with Koa. I'll sort of tell him like toxic advice of things you do. So I'll go
and tell mum.
Because there's a song called "Who Took the Cookie from the Cookie Jar," and there's like, "Was it you?" Like whatever. And I always go, "Just remember, son, don't ever snitch. Snitches get stitches." Isn't that right, son? What's some change in his nappy? Co is 1 year old today. Happy birthday,
Happy birthday, Co.
My word.
Well done,
good
mate.
Lord, I love that kid. I'm going to go and pick him up from nursery and we're going to go have a lovely afternoon. So, on that note.
What do they do with one-year-old babies in nurseries?
Just play with them. Just reading books. Saying? He loves his books. Does that, Okawa?
They have a little nap.
Loves a book, yeah. He loves making little sounds. Loves that one.
James, instead of like, you know, the kids, and Koa will experience this very soon. That I don't even know if they do it anymore, but when I was a kid, you'd have a nap time, you'd have a glass of milk, you'd get on the little mats down, right, and you'd have a little nap in the nursery.
Yeah.
That's great stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean, this one, they've got what's good is they've got, like, there's a sort of separate room and they've all got their own little beds. But when we were looking at other nurseries, a lot of nurseries like this, it looks like it's harrowing. It's like dark and then just these little mats. And there's just like, and you're like, when we were sort of looking around, they'd show you one and everyone, and it's like a kid that's obviously snotty because he's in nursery now. So he's all like red and looks horrible. And you just look up at you like mid nap. Yeah. Tough place to be.
Ruin that.
Sorry. Maybe when he's a little bit old. But yeah, anyway, three cheers for Koa. Right.
Yeah.
Have a great weekend, everyone. Come on, Cupid.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.